Dear Lord, as we join together as a family, dear Lord, what's up with you on your word this afternoon, dear Jesus? Lord, I continue to pray for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, as he had a chance and an opportunity to be before your throne, to hear the message first, dear Lord, to allow it to meditate in his heart, dear Jesus. I pray that those words come out boldly this afternoon, dear Jesus, and that our ears are sensitive enough to hear and understand what you have before us. Let our hearts be bowed before you, dear Jesus, may hear and sup with you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right, look at Jacqua. Your hair look nice. Dang, girl. Can I touch your hair? Oh, man. Okay. Sorry, Jacqua. Threw me off. I was like, glamorous. Praise the Lord. How you guys doing? Man. Good, good. Okay. What are all those people in the hallway for? Okay. We'll figure. Oh, they waiting in line. All right. First. Yes. Shalom to all our friends around the world.
Yes.
Thank you and God bless. We got Jackie, we got Charles, we got Brent, we got the crew. We here. Y'all, me and Pastor Ben had fun last night.
Yeah, we did.
First of all, I want to congratulate Tom Flores for being nominated to the Hall of Fame. And I'm doing that for a reason, because it's very good to me when I was there. Taught me some things while I was there with the Los Angeles Raiders, not the Oakland. But he had been held out of the Hall of Fame for a long time, and I just want to say congratulations for being the first minority to ever win a Super Bowl, and also having the first, and also having been the having the first minority quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. Because wow. I was there, I know the whole story. Jim Plunkett's last name isn't really Jim Plunkett. He was adopted from Mexico. So you had a Mexican coach and you had a Mexican quarterback, and they won the Super Bowl, and nobody said nothing. Mm. You know why? Because you guys got to get some black power stuff going. See, we complain all the time. So if anything happened to us, they go, he's the first black. It's crazy though. But anyway, congratulations to him and his family. It's a long time. All they got to do is get Lester Hayes in the Hall of Fame, and then I'll forgive them. Ooh. Praise God.
Well, hello.
That's the end of my football speech. So I wore the ring just to honor. I'm going to take that off now. Just to honor Tom Flores. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at what the Lord has given me today. And it is, Pastor Ben, I'm going to be handing you papers so that you can put it up to the screen, okay? I'm going to, first of all, have each and every one of you turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 17. And we're going to be reading 1-4. I want Pastor Ben to show this picture. What is that picture, Pastor Ben?
That's the Vatican.
That is the Vatican, right? And that is them. They're all dressed up, getting ready for what? To inaugurate a new pope, okay? God has declared the end is the day, is the title for today's message. Really, the Lord wants to make sure that Christians are watching and you know what's going on, okay?
Yeah.
Because when you look at a picture like this, with all of the bishops and cardinals dressed up in purple and scarlet, and you say, why are they dressed like that? Who chose the colors? And so let's read in the book of Revelation chapter 17. It says, one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and said to me, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth commit fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her fornication. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into the desert and saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, right? Was dressed in purple and scarlet and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The title was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon, the Great, Mother of Prostitutes and the Abominations of the Earth. So God gives this one clue so that you know where all the abomination and filth of the earth comes from. He wants you to know that the Vatican is not what you think. The Vatican is what God is letting you know it is, because God knows that there's no Christianity at the Vatican, okay? There's Catholicism, but there is no Christianity at the Vatican, and you need to know that. Because God is trying to let you know what's really going on in the world. And that's what I really want to talk to you guys about, because we're sitting here at the end of time, yep, as far as the church is concerned, and a lot of us don't really know that the world is in a spiritual battle over human beings.
Amen.
And if you don't understand the spiritual battle, you'll think that, you know, if I just get my vaccine, everything will be okay, because you're not watching, okay? How many people died in Britain the other day? 143 or so, and they had taken the vaccine 4 days earlier, and the British television said, yes, but the vaccines had nothing to do with the deaths. Wow. Well, they didn't die before they took them. Okay. So, and then you got 143 dying within 4 days. That means something's wrong with the vaccine. So why won't they just say, let's just stop giving the vaccine out? Why won't they say that? Right. That's a $1 billion business that they've invested into. Yep. And for Lucifer, they're making sure that this whole project gets followed through.
Amen.
It's important for you to know this, because once you accepted Jesus Christ, you're a part of the battle.
Yes.
Okay? You're a part of the battle anyway, because Satan doesn't care whether you're a Christian or not. He just wants to get rid of humans. Yep. You understand?
Amen.
But now that you become a Christian, you become double inside of the war, because now you're against what he's doing. Okay? Amen. And you're getting knowledge. And now you belong to God, who is the one that he hates, because he created you.
Yep.
Okay? So that is the Vatican. Okay? Now, this picture right here, Pastor Ben, you have to show it close, because I want you, and then we're going to get to the Bible. See that real close? That is a picture of all the major companies in the world in 2017 that had to go to the Vatican to get a message from the Pope. The Pope summoned all the major business owners in the world and told them, you need to be at the Vatican because I'm giving a speech. How does that happen? Mm-hmm. When did the Pope get that much power? But the scripture says that all the abominations of the world are coming from one place, okay? And you have to know that the Vatican Bank is the richest bank on this planet. You understand? So understand that there is a spiritual battle going on. We've been watching it, and the whole thing is depopulation, destroying God's people, the whole thing, but they're doing it. You understand?
Yeah.
And if you don't know they're doing it, you'll fall into the trap. Young lady had son pass away. And I can't remember the name because I got too many people in my head. But his son passed away. He was having some pain issues, and they gave him this pain medicine, which is really a version of heroin, right? Because the inside the pain, the doctors give it, and then it's very addictive. Mm-hmm. And then it causes also hallucinations. So her son ended up passing away, but because he was, now I did a speech, a message concerning the pineal gland,
yes,
and the different drugs that they were putting in psych medicines to kill people, to get people addicted and to open their pineal gland so that demonic spirits can enter. See, there's a whole big old war going on, and you think like you're just a pawn, but no, you are the main subject,
yes,
of the war. God's love for you is the main subject of the war. That's why he wants you to be prepared, study your words to him. Really, you are the focus of the war. Satan wants you and God wants you, okay? And so you've got to focus on what God is trying to show you about the world so you don't fall into traps, okay?
Oxycodone.
Yes. Praise God. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to read a scripture, and then we are going to get back to showing you what God wants you to know. I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Okay. There it is. Okay. Now here is what it says. It says, remember the former things old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Whew, praise God. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are yet to come. You hear that? So God has declared what? The end from the beginning. So in this process of rescuing you from the earth, rescuing you and getting your soul back into an eternal state, God has a plan that shows you the end from the beginning, okay? The crucifixion on the cross was not the end of the plan. I know Jesus says it is finished, but it was finished, the foundation. It was not finished, the whole plan, okay? So as Christ died on the cross for you, it was for the purpose of saving you out of this war, okay? But it's not finished,
amen,
okay? I forgot why I wanted to do that, but okay. So here's the plan. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. Because I want you to see the plan. We're going to go over quite a bit of stuff because God wants me to let you see the reality of the war.
Amen.
Okay? Because if you don't know that there's a reality in the war, I learned a whole lot of stuff about Gates and his family and where they originated from and how they got Microsoft and how long they've been worshiping Satan and how Bill Gates got the company and how they helped Hitler in the war and all this stuff, that prehistory of Bill Gates just coming on the scene that we don't, and his whole family has always been about depopulation of human beings. Matter of fact, they praised Hitler, his family praised Hitler, that the destruction of human beings is a good thing for the earth and all of this. So this isn't a new idea that Bill Gates got. It's been permeated through his whole family for many years, okay? So, and it's just a satanic thing that humans aren't important, depopulation is, okay? Okay, are you in Revelation chapter 20? Hallelujah. It said, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw the thrones which were seated, those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hands. These are people that were in the tribulation. They came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. You notice I keep saying 1,000?
Yeah.
This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who are part of the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the fifth time I've said 1,000. Verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. Okay. How many times did I say 1,000? 6 times. In 2017 was the end of the 6,000 year count. So after the sixth day, Jesus took some apostles on the hill, and he was glorified in front of it. But it says after the sixth day, after the 6,000th year, we are after the 6,000th year. This is the time that we will see the glorification of God, and you will see a person who died but was resurrected, and you'll see a person who has never died. Who is that? Elijah. And who else will you see? Moses. Okay. So all of this is what God is trying to show you. The end of the story is going to be 1,000 years of utopia. But even that's not the end of the story. Remember, God's telling the beginning to the end, not the beginning to the middle or three quarters. He wants you to know your whole story. That's why Revelation was written. Because what God is doing is what's going to happen. Okay? I showed them this. Here, look, let's look at this. Look, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. That's 7 words, and 6 times you have the word Aleph, the letter Aleph. See that? Now, I'm going to say Aleph. I'm going to say 1,000 in Hebrew. Aleph. That's how you say 1,000. But if I write it, it's 1. A day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. But he says, I'm going to create the world in 6 days, but my project to rescue humans out of the world is going to be 6,000. So we're in the 6,000th year. This is the time of salvation and complete redemption and connection, okay? Even the letter Vav in Hebrew, which is the sixth letter, means and, because it's a connector. This is the time that's going to connect us back to God. We are in this time. Does Satan know we're in this time?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Does he know there's an appointed date? Yes, he does. Okay? So what's going on in the world should not surprise you that you have the Vatican over there. And we could talk about the Vatican all day. And somebody had me study. They're like, I want you to study everything that goes on there, what they have there, how they practice opening the pineal gland so that they can communicate with demons, child sacrifices that go on there, all these things that go on there, right? And most people would be shocked if they were Catholic to even think that it's not a religious organization, but it's actually an organization set up for Satan, okay? So This is God telling us the whole story in the 6,000th year, and 1,000 years is going to be the millennium. Now, I'm telling you the end of the story because the end of the story is you in a resurrected body reigning and ruling with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? That's close to the end of the story. After the 1,000 years, a new heaven, a new earth, and then you continue life forever and ever, and there's no more counting. So God's plan for you is set. If you're born again, if you're following Christ. If you're not following Christ and you're just living day to day and you don't hear from any person who is trying to teach you about God, you're kind of like trying to do this on your own, okay? So you don't know when Satan is trying to trick you. Like many people don't know that I shouldn't take the vaccine. Why? I don't have a cold. And I haven't had a cold in 3 years, But why do they want you to take a vaccine? Because it's COVID. Isn't COVID the flu? What happened to the flu? We don't call it that anymore because we can't fool you with that. We got to give it a bigger name, right? So it's just absolutely crazy what is going on. But if you're not a person that's watching, you will not know the truth. And God wants you to know the truth. I want you to admit to me you don't know it. You don't know everything that's going on. Okay, and this is how we know. Watch this in Daniel. I'm going to read this. Watch this. It says, "Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were, and I have come for your word." This is the angel coming to God. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. But lo, the angel, Michael, one of the chief princes, came and helped me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. So what Daniel was saying here, the angel is telling Daniel here is, when we heard you pray, God sent me. But I had to spend 21 days fighting against a demon in Persia to get through. It got so bad, the fight in the spirit realm. See, I'm trying to tell you, you don't know what's going on because we can't see the other side. He said the fight in the spirit realm got so bad it lasted for 21 days. And Michael, the archangel, had to come and help me. Mm. So can we all admit there's some things going on that we don't know, right?
Yes.
And while Satan is in the world, he is called a deceiver. Mm. That means he's not going to tell you. You understand?
Right.
There's things about you that you don't know. I had no idea that Satan could not possess anybody he wanted. I thought, you know, if he saw you and he went, I think I'll just possess that guy. Then he could do that to anybody, right? But when I found out from Dr. Future, as he was giving this incredible speech about the pineal gland, I realized that a human being has to open themselves up for satanic possession. That means they have to either get involved heavily with alcohol, drugs, or drugs to open their pineal gland so that a demon can get in. So a demon is always going to be in position where there's drugs and alcohol going on because that's where he can operate, right? So because he's looking for open doors. They have no activity unless they can get in you, okay? So they're looking for open doors. So I'm looking for a way to make marijuana legal. Why? Because it has one of the highest DMT levels in it that opens your pineal gland. It doesn't make you hallucinate or anything or act crazy. It just simply opens the pineal gland easily and a demon could just accept it. So they make marijuana legal, right? Or it's a lesser drug, they tell you, right? So it's because Satan knows and you don't know how you were made, okay? And if you don't know how you were made, Satan's, well, I was there. I'm the one that gave her the fruit. You understand? I understand how they're made. And if we want to get in, We need them to open doors, so we're going to get... The word for demon in Arabic is jinn.
Ooh.
That's how they named that, okay? Because all alcohol is called what? Spirits, right? But they just named one of them jinn, which is an Arabic name for spirits, okay? So this is what is going on. You're in the middle of a war. God is trying to save you. You're born again. You're on your way to the kingdom of God. And if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know how the war is working, you'll let yourself slip into foolishness. Can I watch a horror movie in my home as a born again Christian? I can't. You know why? Because they're putting stuff in there. You can open doors with music. You can open doors. I mean, so if I forget who told me that. That was a while ago. Is it? Would you? Yeah. Who asked me that? A Freemason guy. He goes, hey, would you let a bunch of witches come in your house and do a séance? And you go, no, I'm a Christian. Are you crazy? And he goes, well, you just watch this horror movie then in your house? And you go, sure, it'll be entertaining. He goes, same thing.
Same thing.
That's what he went. He said, same thing. He says, because we put the seance in the movie, and since you won't let us in to do it, we'll just put the seance in the movie and you'll play the movie in your house.
Over and over.
And you play it more than twice. Hey, you get the kids there. Come, we're gonna be scared tonight. And Satan's going, they are the dumbest. Yeah. How are you gonna give them heaven? They're so dumb.
Right.
No, we're not dumb, we're deceived. Yeah. Because God says that we are simple. You know what that means? We don't believe anybody's trying to harm us. Jesus said, you need to buy a sword now. You understand? At one time, Jesus was like, okay, everybody get a gun. What they had at the time was swords, right? So he's like, hey, everybody get a sword. They said, well, this dude, I got two here. He said, I don't do. Because he knew they was coming, right?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, your spiritual weapon right now is Ephesians chapter 6. And God is saying, put it on each day because you're at war, okay? Watch. Watch and pray. Notice he didn't say, just pray and talk about love. No, he said, watch what's going on. Mm-hmm. Don't just watch, okay? I mean, don't just pray. Watch what's going on in your world.
Yeah.
Here we go. I can go on this second thing. Now, these people are still telling me, don't worry, America's going to be saved. Trump's going to be back in office. La-da-da. And I'm not laughing at them. I'm like, you know, these are, one's a high-ranked general, 40 years in the military, all of this stuff. And I'm saying, but what's going on now? And then there's a lot of people who are very patriotic, and they want to save America, okay? Even though you're not a citizen as born-again Christian of America anymore, according to God, you're now a citizen of the kingdom, and that should be your first priority, is I'm a citizen of the kingdom, okay? Now, I want to show you, here, you can show this on the screen, Pastor Dan. I don't know if you guys are watching it there. Okay, now watch this, I'm going to write something on the board. And if I'm right, what is this? 17, is it 76? Is that when America was born?
That's what they say.
Okay. What is 1776? The day America was born, right? Now, you need to know that Satan plays numbers games because Satan operates by numbers. That's why 9/11 happened on 9/11. All you got to do is read Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. That's why Skull and Bones is 3:22. All you got to do is read Genesis 3:22. And man has become like us because we tricked him. You know what I mean? So they go by numbers the same way God is, because he realized the power in numbers as well, right? So America doesn't become America because in 1776, because it just accidentally did. What are they saying? What do you see here in this picture? Two eagles with a crown in between them, right? So what is the pot? What is the fight over? The fight is over the crown. Who are the two eagles or the two phoenix birds? Divide 17:72 and you get what? 8:8:8, which is the name of Jesus. So you got two Christs, one a true Christ and one a false Christ, developing a country that they're going to fight over the crown over, and they're developing the United States of America because they're going to do what? They're going to try to reestablish Lucifer using the United States of America. Say, Pastor Sandy, you crazy as a loon. No, I'm not. Okay, this is not big enough, so I can't really show you. All of Washington, D.C. is designed in the form of a Baphomite star, okay? All of their streets are designed in the form of a Baphomite star. At the top of it is the Masons building. In the middle of it is the White House. And at the other end of it is an obvious. You know what obvious is? We're going to talk about it. So, an obelisk is something that the Egyptian pharaoh prayed in front of because the Egyptian pharaoh wanted to bring back the spirit of Lucifer that was in Nimrod. So every time they would have a new king in Egypt, the pharaoh would stand in front of the obelisk that was built in the numerical value of Luciferian worship, and they would ask for the return of Nimrod. Okay? If you look at both the Vatican and the United States, the Pope stands on the balcony, and right in front of him is what? An obelisk. What is he asking for? The return of Lucifer. When the American president becomes president, he stands there in front of the obelisk. Now, is the American president all Christians? No. Most of our presidents have been Freemasons or Skull and Bones, okay? So we need to know and understand that America in itself, as we know it, we go, we're a Christian nation. But it was not designed to be a Christian nation. It was designed to bring back Luciferian worship. That's why Washington, D.C. is designed in the form of the Baphomite star, okay? That's why they stand and they pray in front of an obelisk. What do we need an obelisk? We're not Egyptian.
Right.
Why did they put an obelisk in Washington, D.C.? So, I was wondering about all this, and I heard that a couple people were contacting Freemasons lodges, and they would give you information. So I want to know what the dollar bill was about, okay? So, they said the two circles in here, the two circles, one here and one there. Can you see that, man?
Yes.
Okay, the two circles, they say stand for, okay, the covenant was made, that for the everlasting immortal soul. Okay, we got this in what, 2007? Because I sent it to him, I wanted to know. So they sent me back the information. The two circles are for the symbol of the occult craft. So the two circles are for the occult craft. The seeing eye reflects the god Osiris, Lucifer is watching. The pyramid signifies 13 families under Lucifer's plan, because this pyramid has 13 steps up to the all-seeing eye. The unfinished pyramid reminds Masons, he says proudly, reminds Masons that Lucifer's plan on earth is not yet complete. The eagle or the phoenix represents Satan's final control through war. He has in his hand the olive branch, which is Israel in his grip. No more two-headed eagles. So that's why you only have a one-headed eagle, even though this is a Freemason. Because they're saying sometimes they're going to be in charge over Israel, and you got 13 arrows, 13 leaves, and 13 stars above his head, which is what? 13, 13, rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. Okay? Now, the wings on the eagle, 32 and 33, represents the highest numbers of Mason's degrees. The 65 wings together represents the Greek phrase meaning the number six. The nine feathers indicate the number of degrees in the New York rites, or the New York Mason's rites. A nua conceptus above the pyramid can translate it as he has favored our undertaking, meaning that Satan has given them approval of what they want to do. Nuvius Oros Ordos Seclorum means under the pyramid, translated as new order of the ages. In God we trust, they made sure, in God we trust is the first question. Okay, they didn't tell me who it is. They said, in God we trust is the first question asked through it to a Mason when he gets to the 11th step of being a Mason. And what is that question? Lucifer is the light of the world. You must confess that to get up to 32 or 33. So Kenneth Copeland being a 33 degree Mason means that he's already been through the 11th step. You understand? Or Roberts being 33 means he already been through the 11th step. But they have big churches and they open and they seem like such great men of God. Pastor Sandy, you know. This is why I told you about Daniel. There's something going on that you don't know about, and you have to be able to admit you don't know what's going on in the war, okay? Because there are 22 Freemason churches right here in Long Beach. I had to look on the internet to find out. My question was, why are Freemasons opening churches? Aren't they against Christ? But hold up, wait a minute. George Bush said he was a Christian because Jesus saved my life. Barack got confused and said, to my Muslim beliefs, I mean my Christian beliefs, but he did say, finally, he was a Christian, right? So it's easy to say I'm a Christian, okay? And especially if you're covering up for something else, all right? Now, I'm under instructions, so I got to show you guys this. Okay, now, this is for all of you guys that don't know the depthness of the spiritual war. You know what this is right here? That's a real place. You know what it's called? It's called Rogan's, or a Rodin's crater. It was built by a man named James Turrell, who is an expert in building light structures to open portals for demons. James Turrell has a place in Arizona where he built this, and it opens portals for demons. Many demons have come through this portal in Arizona because he's built this structure there to summon demons through this portal. This is a picture of him right here. You can barely see it. I don't want to show you this, but it says we won't get to that yet. We won't get to that yet. Okay. But yeah, this is him, okay? This is a picture of him. It's too dark. But here's a good picture of him. And look who's giving him an award at the White House. Barack Obama. Barack Obama's giving a man who produces portals to open demons, and he's giving him an award. Why would he be giving him an award? He says, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have got here. Do you understand? So he gives this guy, James Turrell, he gives him an award, and people give him millions of dollars all the time. So He gets this award from Barack Obama. Kanye West goes to him and asks him to help him because he wants to do an album that produces more doors for demons. Kanye West goes directly to this man to ask for his help to produce an album. Okay? And now he produces an album . This is the structure in Arizona that he uses to open doors for portals. It looks like a key. This is Kanye West's album cover called Jesus Saves or Jesus is King. But we don't know what's going on. So therefore, we think that everybody's here to help us. Kanye West had them dig out a structure of an all-seeing eye before he started having his Sunday services behind his house. So they dug it out, and then all the women came, and he told the women they had to have these, but they had to be down below their knee. Why? That's Braille worship, which means these are a group of witches back in the day that summoned demons, and the power was in the hair. How did Kanye West know that? So all of the women, if you see him dancing in the backyard, all the women's hair is below their knees because they're trying to summon these demons, but they're singing Christian music. So you just want to join in. But what does he know that you don't know? How to use music to open portals for demons. So now I give you Jay-Z. You think Satan don't control Jay-Z? You think Satan don't control all these artists that they're giving you, the Billy Silas or whatever her name was?
Miley Cyrus.
She's already, her dad even said, I made a mistake. I gave my daughter to Satan. Billie Eilish, all of them. Jay-Z's wife, all of them. The guy said, even, do I still need to, I hear now to be in charge of a record company, you have to be an ordained witch. And he said, the guy, I'll send it back to you, Pastor. He said, you have to be an ordained witch to have to be in charge of a record company that's owned by the Illuminati, which all of them are anyway, right? So you think they're not using their music to influence young people to do some things, okay? So you play the music, you're bumping in the car and everything is cool because you think you're simple. Nobody really wants to harm me. They're just making music for me to enjoy. Isn't it wonderful that the government has finally legalized marijuana? Because it really helps me with my pain. Do you think the demons care about your pain? I need your door open. I need a place to operate and to work. So I'm trying to tell you how things work so that you understand that you're at a spiritual war. So now that you're in this 2020 season, the Lord said, don't forget to show you this one. Now watch this. You guys, okay? Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll set this aside. This guy right here is Benny Hinn. Say, don't talk about Benny Hinn. You're putting down another pastor. Benny Hinn is not with me.
Amen.
I want you to know that. Okay. You can fall for it. But that's the guy. Benny Hinn is ordaining him as a minister of the gospel that night. He's saying, I'm passing on. This man is going to minister the gospel like no one else. You know where Benny Hinn sends him next? He sends him to India to meet with these people. Who are those? Those are Hindu people. He goes to India to learn what? Kundalini.
Right.
Because you don't think that when Benny Hinn waved his jacket that those people really fell. You think that that was like they were actors. But he learned something in India called Kundalini, and that's how to affect your body and your mind by using this power called Kundalini. But he learned it in India, so he sent this guy, he learned it in India, he comes back, and now all of a sudden he can go, and everybody falls down and are shaking. And you go, "Ooh, the Holy Spirit just hit me in service today." Jesus has never done that. Show me one time Jesus walked in the room and he went, "Fire!" And everybody fell down and then started shaking. So why did we think that this was such a great thing, right? Because we're simple.
Chakra.
Yeah, yeah, it affects your chakra. Matter of fact, I have this whole thing about it, Pastor Ben. That's what it does. I'm going to affect your chakra. The guy with me and Pastor Ben, we have a men's Bible study. Guy said, "Hey, this woman came up to me in the hospital and said, I heard you have problems, but can I pray for you?" And so she prayed for him, and he said he collapsed, and he said his back was sore. He said he could feel, as soon as she started praying, he said he hit the ground. He said his back's been sore for 3 weeks. Remember that, Pastor Ben?
I remember that.
Now, why was it? This lady was practicing Kundalini on him and didn't even know it. They had another lady called Trim. She was at the church in Los Angeles, and she was doing it, making this whole side of the room fall down. And no, that whole, and all she did was find out what Benny Hinn was doing and where he learned it. All I got to do is go to India and learn Kundalini, and I can make people fall down by affecting their chakras, and it'll look like the Holy Spirit hit them. And so they do this, right? But what do we think as Christians? The church is on fire today.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is what God wants you to know. I can put all this away. Well, not all of it. This is what the Lord wants you to know. Because I was asking the Lord, why are so many people falling for this? What? There was a church. They had maybe 300 or 400 people standing out line outside waiting to get their shot. I'm like, who's the pastor at that church? And have any of them, I mean, they weren't sick or nothing. They're standing in line to outside of a church waiting to get a vaccine. And I'm saying, Lord, why? Why aren't we smarter? Why haven't people checked? Why is this going? Do we need to get this out more? And the Lord's like, they don't know. They're not watching. They think that everything is whatever television tells them. Yeah. And so here we are. Why is this such a destructive time? Because everything is unsettled now. What they come out today and they said that this pandemic may last for the next 7 years.
Wow, coincidence.
They said this vaccine, this pandemic may last for the next 7 years. So basically, they've changed the whole world through a lie, and they're getting people to take their first round. You see the girl who took the first round, her legs swell up and got all red and stuff. Someone put it on Facebook. And she said, "I'm not gonna take the second round." Because you know they got a second round. What does the first round do? The first round says you don't need an immune system. This is your immune system. As soon as something comes in, boom, you block it, block. Your immune system builds up, kick that right out of there, right? So the first shot is like, makes you put your hands down.
Yeah.
So now you got no immune system. Because the first shot doesn't have the virus in it. The second shot has the virus in it. So what's the second virus going to do? You have no immune system, so it's going to kill you. So this is what they're planning on doing to human beings right now. They're trying to do what? The very thing that Bill Gates says, if you develop the right vaccines, we can work on depopulation of the whole world. We're going to reach 9 trillion if we don't develop some vaccines and reduce that number. Why do you want to reduce the number of people that are on Earth? Who made you God? But Nephilims do what Nephilims do. You understand? Demons do what demons do. You don't believe that demons live on this earth and they have and they're Nephilim and they look have body, they look like you, and that some of them are in office, but it is going on and you're in the middle of a war. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, you have the only escape out of this trap. And that's Jesus Christ. He came here to finish the job. You understand? He spoke from the end, from the beginning. So he's going to finish the whole job. His whole reason for coming was to give human beings the opportunity to escape. Psalms 22 at the end said that Jesus was doing this for all those people who have not yet been born. And this is before he died on the cross. But he says, the reason I'm dying on the cross is for people who haven't been born yet. People like me and Jeremiah, you have daddy issues, right? I have father. God knew I was going to have father issues. If you have father issues, you're going to have other problems.
Right.
We did an experiment in the juvenile prison. We said we're going to give out Mother's Day cards to all the guys in juvenile prison. We bought 900 cards. First 2 weeks, all 900 cards are gone. We said, hey, let's do the same thing for Father's Day. We bought 900 cards. In the 3-4 weeks Father's Day got there, we still had 893 cards. That means only 7 people picked up a Father's Day card. Did that tell us the problem?
Yeah.
So Jesus knows that life is going to present deception, problems. The problems are going to mean things you have to handle. Now you've got to figure out how to treat a woman by yourself as a young man. Now you've got to figure out how to live in a neighborhood that's not too good by yourself, because you have no mentor or structure, right? Now you have to figure out all of these things on your own, and Satan knows, even if that don't get you, I'm going to make music that you love. So I'm going to get you some way, and I'm going to tell you marijuana is not that bad. All you got to do, is just to make you feel better. So the deception is on, but now we're at the very end, okay? Now we're at the end where your walk with Jesus Christ is the most important thing.
5 minutes.
Okay. Hallelujah. I have this scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. If we can go there. Hallelujah. And I am looking for it. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to go in there because I don't have it in my notes. So I got to go there. There it is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and it reads, let's start at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Who's him?
Right.
Jesus Christ. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, rather things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is what Jesus did for you. He made peace between you and God. Because without Christ, you are at an enmity against God. Because you haven't accepted his sacrifice, which he came to earth to do what? To die on the cross for your sins.
Yes.
Craziest thing, studying Hebrew. I'm studying Hebrew, and the first thing I that really hit me, that made me say, okay, I know I got to study now. Abraham goes, hey, Dad, where's the lamb? We have everything we need. Where's the lamb? And he says, God will, English goes, God will provide a lamb. I read the Hebrew and it said, God will appear as the lamb himself. And I went, wait a minute, that's completely different. That means I don't have to argue about whether Jesus was God anymore if I read it in Hebrew.
Right.
Elohim Yirah Lo, God will appear himself.
Hallelujah.
What? And Abraham is telling this to who?
His son.
To his son. So who told it to him? God told it to him. I'm going to appear myself as the Lamb. When? In the future. And I'm going to resurrect. So when you get there, tell them you're going to the mountain, but you'll be back. Because even if he didn't know he wasn't going to kill his son.
Right.
But he knew that God told him resurrection is real. Yes. So he said, me and the boy will be back. He said, make sure your son carries the wood because I want to make sure everything's in line. So he carries the wood for 3 days, goes up to the mountain. And so God is trying to show you, I'm going to do something for you. I'm not going to send an angel. Get away from all those religions that tell you Jesus was an angel. I'm not going to send an angel. He said, Jesus says, Elohim Yiro'alo. Elohim's going to appear himself. Okay? That's why John says the word became flesh and the word was God and with God and the word became flesh because Elohim Yiro'alo. He appears himself. And he said, I'm going to do this for everybody who haven't even been born yet. Even though I know you're going to be a jacked up person for many years, because youth is going to mess you up.
Oh my.
Okay? Because you're going to love everything stupid. Right? And so I'm going to get you somehow. 17, I accept Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. I'm like, I woke up the next day. I'm carrying my Bible to school. I don't want any more weed. I'm like, I got to stop. I don't want to curse anymore. I'm reading the Bible. I'm telling other people about Jesus. Because of what? Something somebody did for me years ago? Come on. Jesus changes and saves lives. But he wants you to also watch what your enemy is doing. Don't just do what the world do, because if the world's doing, it's popular for a reason, because it destroys humans. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're in the 120th year, and we will be till March 14th, and I'm looking to go home, because all judgments happen in the 120th year. And I want to go home and get out of here. God called me to minister this message and this message only. And let me tell you, I know the whole Bible. It's like right now I'm going through the whole Bible again, right? For the fast. I know, Lord, I could preach on so many things. Do what I told you to preach, right? I told you to get them ready to leave. That's what I told you. Every one of your messages better be about leaving and preparing to leave, right? So that's what I preach. But see, I'm going to tell this, and then we're going to close with this. The Lord gave me permission. I'm 20 years old. I'm in psych class. I'm in psych class. At the University of Colorado, just finished my senior year. The draft happened yesterday, so I didn't get drafted. I mean, I'm like, I better get my education in, right? So I'm in psych class and I'm taking notes. I'm like, I ain't gonna play football. I better get some, you know. So I'm in there, and one of the coaches come and said, "Could you come here?" And he says, "The Los Angeles Raiders are on the phone. And they want to talk to you." So I go over to the football office and they say, we were going to draft you, but we heard you had some issues. And I did. I was beating up people in college. So going to jail, I was doing some things in college, right? And so they said, hey, so we didn't draft you because of behavioral issues, right? You guys don't want to know the rest of that story. It's bad. So he said, be on the plane tonight. And we'll meet you at LAX, because the Raiders are in Los Angeles. I'm in the airport. Here's Tom Flores, the general manager. I can't forget, he's in the Hall of Fame too. He's there with Al Davis, and my mom is there. So my mom is like, hello, this is my son. And I'm like, this is so good, right? And my mom's excited. We get to the facility, they write me a check. I got all this money now. I'm gonna get on the bus because I don't have a car yet. So I give my mom some money, right? The next day I come back, they say, we know you grew up here in South Central LA, and we're going to do a football camp at Washington High School. I was like, oof, Washington? Why? Did y'all go, were y'all generals? You know, ain't nothing in Washington but Hoover Crips and bad people, right? So I'm like, well, you know, I do know a lot of people there that were, you know, from Bethune Junior High. So they said, we need you to put on a Raider shirt, get in the limousine, and go to the high school with some of the other players and talk to them about football and life. I'm in the limousine with Howie Long. And he says, oh, so you grew up here? Yeah, a lot of gangs here. I say, yeah, you don't know. He's sitting in the elevator trying to tell me that Boston is tougher than South Central LA. Mm. And I just looked at Howie Long and I said, you would last about 2 days here then. Because you think your size and your toughness would keep you in South Central? I'm telling you right now, 142-pound skinny kid with a rag hanging out the back of his pocket will blast you in the head in a second. And he went, is it like that? I said, it's fundamental here. And so he kind of got it. So we got to Washington High School. Now I'm a born again Christian at this time. We get to Washington High School. I got Howie Long. I got Doki Williams. Marcus didn't go that day. Todd Christensen. All these guys just won the Super Bowl and they're all great players and well known. And they say, hey, Sam Christensen wouldn't call me Sandy. Sanford, we need you to, we need you to do the talking. So I'm in front of all of these young people, and what do I talk about? Getting saved when I was 17.
Wow.
They picked me to talk. And I'm talking about the gang life from Bethune. I'm talking about smoking weed. I'm talking about getting delivered when I accepted Jesus Christ, breaking up with my girlfriend, Jesus being the reason why I'm wearing this Raider jersey today, and blah, 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 blah. And at that time, it just dawned on me, maybe God was telling me something right then. Like, football's not it. Your real career is going to be telling people about me, okay? The most important thing in our life is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because he delivers us from foolishness, and he delivers us from the tricks of the enemy, and he has a plan that he told from the beginning all the way to the end, and we're still a part of it. So stay in there and hang in with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good job, Sanford.
Sanford.
Da 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 da